Blog Talk Radio.
Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie ahead, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does that amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great also. Well, got another full week lined up, don't we?
Once again, we're hitting the ground running with three great shows going into the week, and I'll tell you, it's paying off. I've noticed that we've got more listeners, and not only more listeners, but now that they've upped the content of the stats, we know that people are listening longer. The number of people who listen to a whole show has increased significantly. I think that's partly due to the fact that we're doing really interesting, provocative content, and of course they would listen, but also probably due to the fact that they're 30-minute shows. I think people are responding positively to that, so...
Well, it's
welcome
it's drive time
to the world transformed.
Yeah,
know,
absolutely. Commute size bikes. You know, it's basically what we're talking about here. You can take us with you on the way to work. So
that's right. And I think the variety of it is nice. Doing three shows in a week allows us to get into amazing stuff and more amazing stuff as we did last week. And this week we've got a similar show coming up in midweek. I wonder if Wednesday will turn into our kind of tech grab bag show. It's too early to say, but it's a possibility. And then,
we're talking about on Friday starting a new segment where we just kind of put the futurism aside just for a moment and talk about other geek stuff. You know, things that interest us and hopefully our audience as well. So.
Mark your calendars, folks. This Friday, a new feature debuts on The World Transformed. Other geek. And, eventually we'll come up with a really good intro audio segment for that. We're not going to have it this week because we're still thinking about it. But someday soon we'll have that. But also it lets us get into, provocative little subjects like what will we do with all the old people, which is our subject.
Well, I got to tell you, Phil, the title of tonight's show almost creeps me out a little because I'm not as young as I used to be, So, hey, wait a minute. What are you talking about here, Phil?
Well, exactly. The thing is, I've tried to put it in as provocative, if not downright offensive, terms as I could, because it does seem to be kind of the undercurrent around how some people talk about this issue. We're going to be talking about as human life extension becomes a reality, as we're seeing that unfold, and we're going to talk about a couple of developments in that direction in a few minutes. As people live longer, there's this issue of, what do you do with all this extra life? And unfortunately, sometimes it's translated as, what do you do with all those extra people? Although I don't see how the people who were here first could ever be considered extra people, right? That just seems that seems backwards. You know, if anyone's extra, it's the ones who came. It's the ones who came later to them. But I was thinking about all that. I want to get it out there. What's that?
I say, Phil, when it comes to the overpopulation crisis or whatever, we grandfather in these people, right?
Well said. Well,
yeah. Yeah, they have seniority, definitely.
Oh, jeez, okay. That's, Do you have one more, or is that it? Are you done now?
I think that's about it. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Okay, because it was, you know what, Stephen? It was getting old. It really was.
Oh, gosh. That's awful.
Yeah, that's weak is what that is. Anyhow, yeah, so I tried to put it into fairly provocative terms. Because I think it's just exactly the wrong mindset. I think people who ask that question are asking almost exactly the wrong question. We'll come back to that question at the end. But I went looking around Adobe Stock for good pictures, and then you start, you know, your brain starts playing all these PC tricks on you. It's like, well, here's a great one of an old man. It's like, oh, it's just one white man. That's no good. And then I found the three guys, and, you know, the one in the middle is their black friend. I'm like, oh, what a great diverse group. And I said, there's our picture. And I'm like, oh, wait, there's no old women, right? So then I found this awesome old woman, right? And so I said, okay, well, we'll just have two slides, right? We'll have the old guys, and we'll have the old woman, because she's just fantastic. And then I'm thinking, oh, there's more men than women, and the old woman is engaged in, like, the most stereotypical old person activity, right? She's knitting. So I'm just expecting lawsuits, okay? I was really trying to, you know, diversify and be sensitive and stuff. And I think they all look awesome, by the way. These people are, you know.
Well, here's the thing. The oversensitivity of those who would be offended it hasn't really reached this demographic, Phil. I think we're safe. I think we're okay.
Okay.
These folks are, you know, presently, by and large, are not on college campuses today. So anyway, I'll leave it at
that.
So.
Well, and I'll tell you, I love putting the slideshows together every week. But if I got to worry about hitting some, you know, vanishing goal line of diversity with my, I'll just, you know, we'll have to go back to just plain text on black backgrounds. I won't be able to keep up. But anyway, I love the old lady there knitting. I think she looks awesome, and she looks like your grandma, right? I mean, don't you think?
Right.
It's just, I mean, and the old guys, it's like your grandpa and his two buddies, right? And the thing is, I'm really a lot closer to them in age than I am to, you know, being born. So it's, you know, it's time to start coming to terms with the fact that the old people ultimately are all of us, you know. If you're lucky,
yeah,
you become one of the old people.
That's right.
And if you're really lucky, you get to be an old person for a very long time. And if you're extremely lucky, you get to be an old person for a very long time and enjoy it. It's that group that we're hoping to see expanded over time, right? That's the real goal.
My mother has on her refrigerator, and she's, you know, my mother and father are senior citizens now. I mean, they, you know, middle age is, they've sort of left that realm and they've hit this demographic, Phil, and
yep.
She has on her refrigerator a little plaque thing. It says, let me see if I can quote it exact. I'm going to try to get close. It says that, don't become discouraged by getting old. It's a privilege denied to many.
Exactly.
So yeah, as you said, if you're lucky, you'll get to be one of these folks. So, anyway, so let's talk about this.
So let's talk about how we get to be one of these folks and you know, efforts that are moving us in that direction. So we got two stories. One we talked about very recently, and we were just discussing how recently that was, prior to the show beginning. But really exciting development in the world of anti-aging with the first human to be made younger via gene therapy. And we'll come to that one in just a second. But first I want to talk about this one, which is a new story, as far as I know. Anti-aging startup hopes to elude the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Now, first off, the headline, I think, is very, I don't know, slanted against these guys. You know, it makes it sound like they're trying to pull a fast one. Or maybe that's fair. I don't know. What do you think? Is that a fair characterization of what these folks are doing?
Well, what they are doing is basically putting some of, you know, if their own advertising is to be believed, they'll go to their website. What they're doing is putting some of the best research in anti-aging into what amounts to a vitamin. And
right.
So that you take these vitamins, and of course, when you market vitamins, you can't make promises about what they do and what they don't do. And you just, you know, put it out there and you can get around, FDA requirements that way. And the name of their product is, what is it, Basis? Is that what they call it? Yeah, Basis by
That's
Elysium.
Right.
Elysium is the company. Basis is the product. I went to their website, Phil, and, I was just curious, you know, what it would cost. $50 a month for a prescription of this stuff. At some point I may consider that. But anyway, it's and of course they're not allowed to say exactly what it is that would do. But it says science has enabled us to focus on the cellular level to achieve optimal health beyond what can be accomplished with diet and exercise. Basis is designed to optimize NAD plus levels and sirtuin function in our cells to support our most critical metabolic processes like cellular detoxification, DNA repair, and energy production. So now I think it's a little bit of a provocative title. You know, hey, we do provocative titles for our shows too. So
exactly.
I think that's
what
the headlines attempted to do. But
headlines, I'm pretty much at the if you can't beat them, join them at this stage. I'm kind of like
that's right.
that's the way we're going now. You know.
Well, I think it's fair. They are getting around the FDA by not marketing this as a drug. If they wanted to say specifically what kind of good it was doing for you and all that, they'd have to go through an FDA approval process, and there's two steps to the FDA approval process. Number one, you have to prove that it's not going to cause harm. Okay.
Right.
And you pretty much have to do that with vitamins anyway. They can do that. They can overcome. That's the easy hurdle. The second hurdle is to prove that it does. Efficacy. Prove that it does what you say it does. And so they can't in order to prove that something makes people live longer, you'd have to test it over 50 years or something crazy, you know? And
yeah.
So instead of waiting 50 years to bring something out, they're saying, hey, we're going to market this as vitamins or a Nutra supplement or whatever, and not have to deal with overcoming that second hurdle.
Yeah, I think the end run around the FDA is smart. You know,
it's going to have to happen that way.
Either the drug approval process changes soon, or you're going to see a lot more of this kind of thing, right? Because
And our first story, Phil, that you mentioned briefly, the controversial CEO who basically tried out her company's own, stem cell. She did two things to her body. She lengthened telomeres in her stem cells, right? And then also did something called myostatin inhibition, which causes your muscles to gain mass. You know, you can grow as you would as a young person. And so she did these two things, and you know what she had to do it? She went to Columbia. And I think that there'll be a lot of, as anti-aging medicine advances, I think there's going to be a lot of medical tourism to places that are outside of the United States. And there'll also be things like things that are marketed as vitamins and nutrition supplements.
Because you got to do one thing or the other, right? Either you find a way to fly under the radar of the FDA, or you go someplace else, right? Where they can't stop you. Because as well intentioned as the regulations around how something becomes a drug are, you know, those are very well intentioned rules. I understand that they're there to prevent great harm. Progress just isn't going to wait, you know. It's just not.
Right.
You know, we are in an age of exponential learning, and we're not going to sit around and wait, 40 years for something to go through a bureaucratic process. I just, you know, there's not going to be the patience for it.
Particularly,
especially as people are, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just saying, especially something like anti-aging therapy. I mean, if we were to wait, then we'd die, right? So, I mean,
right.
if this turns out to any of these things, you know, whether what the CEO did, or whether the Elysium's nutritional supplements or any other approach turns out to be, you know, work, it turns out to work and provide substantial benefit, then you know, we can't wait to get that benefit. You got to get it before before you become frail, and perhaps pass away. So it's you got to. I think that there's going to be more and more medical tourism, and you know what I think will probably be the thing that causes the FDA to change its tune. It's when enough wealthy people do medical tourism to the point that everybody else that can't afford to go to Columbia or wherever it's required to have these things done. Who goes, you know, hey, wait, hold up a minute. You know, only wealthy people can live forever. What's the deal? You know,
right, right.
And makes a political push to allow these therapies to be done in the United States. And so that's I
certainly
think
lifespan
like
inequality
that.
Is you know, that's going to put even income inequality to shame as in terms of a, you know,
right,
a hot button
right.
issue, right?
Yeah, the ultimate luxury is not dying, right? So
right.
If that's made a luxury that only wealthy people can enjoy, then you better believe other people will speak up, and rightly so. So I think that will ultimately be the thing that makes the politics impossible for FDA to continue the way it is right now. But I suspect that's on down the road at least 10 years.
Well, and what's interesting is there are options, and you can kind of see a whole field developing here, because the approaches in these two stories we're talking about are radically different from each other, but they both
right.
go to things that have been identified as major causes or things, you know, in a very central way associated with aging. This NAD, you know, essentially what you're doing, if it works, is you're taking something that's going to replicate the biochemical impact of calorie restriction on your body. Now,
right.
there's
right.
never been a demonstration that calorie restriction works for humans the way it does for mice. So we're going
right.
on the whole, assuming we work like mice and actually other, you know, pardon me, lower life forms that have enjoyed a tremendous life extension through exactly this process. But we don't know that it doesn't, right? It's never been established that there's no connection, and it's entirely possible
right.
that there is. So, gosh, that's, you know, say that gets you a year total. Right. Say you take it for 30 years and it gets you a year. You know, we were talking not that long ago about the actuarial escape velocity. That year could be the year they have the breakthrough where, you know, everybody
yeah.
your age then, you know, gets pushed forward. Right. I mean, so.
Yeah.
So
maybe they get another 6 months because of that.
Yeah.
And so that year becomes a year and a half. And then during that half year. Well, you know, then they have the real big breakthrough, and then all of a sudden, you know, these little extensions of life become, you know, permanent at that point. You know, it's you just keep pushing it out. So
exactly,
that's the idea.
So, and I think that probably things that can fly under the radar will be sort of definitely everything that we can get our hands on now is kind of a bridge technology to. The ultimate cure that's out there could be something related to what Elizabeth Parrish is doing. This, I think, very heroic self-hacking that she's doing around lengthening her telomeres. Could be that ends up being the thing. Could be that something else ends up being the thing. Could be that there's a combination of like six or seven, right? As Aubrey de Grey might say, things that you have to have all at once in order to get to the thing. But some of these others will bridge the gap. And so I think it's really interesting that we're seeing both kinds of technology in the news, right? We're seeing the kind where maybe not everybody, but a much broader base of people
can afford $50 a month than can afford to, you know, take long trips down to Columbia and receive experimental technologies, right? You know, I mean, there's a big gap between the two. However, the price of both of those people will fall significantly.
I was just characterized her earlier, the CEO, and what is her name? We want to go ahead and say what company she's with. And BioViva.
Elizabeth Parrish, and her company is called BioViva.
That's right. Phil, you said heroic. I agree with you, actually. But, there are others, including some of the researchers that were involved with the company. That, you know, at least one researcher quit in protest saying, you know, that we weren't anywhere near, a human trial level, and here you go. But you know what? Again, we're in an age of exponential increase in knowledge. And if that's the case, someone's going to have to bite the bullet and try. And she had reason to believe that she was more subject to aging diseases at the diseases of aging at an earlier age than the general population. So she had reason to try this. And,
right.
We both wish her Godspeed on this, and I hope it makes you 20 years old and you become fabulously wealthy because your company just explodes in value because of it, because
absolutely.
Hey, we all need this, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is here, she's obviously subjecting herself to some risk, and the person who quit, it was out of that concern, I assume. Right. It's like, she might hurt herself rather than help herself. And so I respect that decision. Certainly, you know, I can see where you could go either way on something like this. And I don't claim to have the absolute, I can't hand down the moral answer to this. All I know is that if somebody doesn't try at some point, we never find out. Right. At some point, these therapies have to be tried on human beings to find out if they work on human beings.
Right.
I'm not a doctor, but right? You know, that just kind of
that seems self-evident, doesn't it?
She's working on making that happen because the clock is ticking for all of us. And, yes, she's helping herself potentially, but she's helping a lot of other people too. So, I stand by my characterization that this is a heroic act, even if it is one that, potentially benefits her in great ways too. There's no reason why those two things have to be opposites, right?
I
think it's awesome if you can do something heroic that also makes you live forever and rich. I think that's the best kind of...
That's smart heroism right there, isn't it?
Exactly.
So anyway, we're all about that. Okay, well, our last topic tonight, Phil, is how increasing longevity will shape our world. So this kind of gets back to the title of our show tonight.
It does. It was a good piece on Forbes talking about a bunch of futurists got together, and they were talking about this really interesting fact. I guess people are living about 30 years longer than they did a century ago. So that's progress right there. And even in our world, 100 years later, we actually have this question about, you know, what do we do with the elderly? You know, where do we put them? Who's going to take care of them? You know, what do they do with their time? I mean, these are serious questions about society. My inclination is to say, well, these are people that we owe a lot of respect to, that, have kind of earned their place and that, they deserve a lot of deference and a lot of good things in the world we're in now. In the world we're going to be in a century from now, who knows how long people will be living, right? Even 50 years from now, the problem of what do we do with all the old people will become that much more pronounced. And, you know, these folks on this panel, they had some interesting ideas. You know, they said we need to get elderly people, aged people back into the workforce, that they drop out of the workforce and they never come back, and then they've got all this experience, they got all this knowledge, they got all these years ahead of them, and nothing happens. And they talk about also using their longevity bonus to aid children who could use mentoring and assistance, you know, right, helping helping kids to learn and helping them come along. Both great ideas. I think those are excellent ideas. I've got some more radical thoughts on what we can do with all the old people. But my first caution one is, above all, you know, what are we going to do with all the old people? I suggest we be very nice to them, because as you have pointed out, Stephen, that's where we're all headed, right? So any rule you lay down for how old people should be treated will apply to you at some point. So you you know, if you're lucky. So, you know, I think we want to keep that in mind. Then I would suggest that in a radically different world, a world where a treatment such as parishes or its predecessor, excuse me, its descendants, or, you know, the big fix comes along and everyone's living well into their hundreds, I'm going to suggest that maybe what we should do with all the old people is put them in charge, right? Maybe they would actually become the people who run the planet. You know, there's been a lot of talk about what's it called? Guaranteed basic income, right? This is a new idea that's been floated around. We've talked about it a few times on the show. Yeah, well, if we go to that model, we might actually have a thing where if you're under, say, 80, you're on a guaranteed basic income, right? And you're not really considered an adult. And you're sort of maybe a quasi-citizen or something like that. But life begins at 80, right? You know, say you hit 80, or I don't know what it'd be, 120, whatever. They'll be wiser than us. They'll decide. But that you actually have to get like a century or so in before you're even qualified to talk about how to run things.
And of course, you're imagining a world filled where people live centuries, and you know, maybe even indefinitely.
Exactly.
Know, because the problem of aging has been conquered. Phil, I would just say that, you know, right now we have a sort of the phases of life that we look at life as, okay, we spend our young years getting educated, our middle years in a career, and then there's a retirement and decline and death, right? That's kind
pretty
of
much
a,
it,
that's pretty much the way it works right now. In a world where you don't age the same way, you just, you know, it takes, you know, you go in, you know, periodically for rejuvenation therapy, let's say, that, you know, it may require you to, you know, spend some time in a at some sort of clinic or something for some time for therapy to get back, you know, another 30 years or something. But then, you know, my the way I would imagine is, you know, you get educated as a young person, you start your career, then there's a sabbatical. And then you're working again, another sabbatical. You do that, you know, you get in a pattern there where you just, you know, work 30 or 40 years something, or then you take some time off, figure out what it is you want to do with the next 40 years, right?
Right.
Something like that, maybe. And that, of course, is imagining a world where we're all still working. And, you know, for other reasons we've talked about, that may not be the case, but at any rate, that's a thought, is that we
So what do you do with all the old people? You let them do what they want to do, right? You let them
pretty much
continue to self-actualize over the centuries.
That's right.
And obviously
the current Social Security model and even our healthcare models would have to change quite a bit to account for the fact that, you know, people are not aging the way they used to. I'd say also, Phil, at some point, you know, if people are just really not dying, I mean, it's not just that we postponed dying by a few years, but I mean, it just, you know, unless you get hit by a truck and die violently, you don't die. Well, then ultimately we would have to consider, you know, a world with fewer children, you know.
It seems like it would go that way anyhow. There's definitely a link between economic development and population growth going down. And also, I think if you live for centuries, you might wait a while, right?
There's no ticking biological clock, right? So, you know, you can have kids. You know what? I won't have kids this century. Next century, I might have one or two. Anyway,
but
so,
ultimately, you know what that speaks to, Stephen, is that the other reason we put him in charge is because if we remain Democratic, eventually there will be more old people than anyone else, right? They'll outnumber and they'll have the power. And oh, with that, you know what? We are completely out of time. Wow, that went
really
fast.
That did.
Well,
the show got
okay,
old
we'll back. We'll be back again Wednesday with a brand new show. Thank you all for being with us. And until next time, live to see it.